Well, for those of you that were here this morning, if you'll remember, we talked about seeking God and diligently seeking God. And I hope you got out of that half what I got out of it. I got home and got to thinking about that message, and I was like, okay, whether anybody else got anything out of that or not, that message was just for me. You know, even as much studying as I do, sometimes we get very casual in our study. Or if you're diligently doing something, you're not going to get casual in it, are you? And if you remember, I talked about the illustration of when I lost my ring, and somebody asked me, by the way, he said, did you ever find that ring? No, I didn't. But I know this much. When I left those premises, that ring was not on the premises. You say, well, how do you know? Because I went over every inch of that property two, and some of it probably three times, looking for it. I can promise you it wasn't there because I was what? Diligently seeking for it. If it had been there, I would have found it. And so that's how we need to be in seeking God. And if you look at the scriptures, one thing really jumped out at us. And tonight I'm going to do more teaching than preaching probably. But as you study the Bible, there's the core message in the entire Bible is that God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit want to establish a one-on-one intimate relationship with you. Now, a lot of times we can generalize that and say that God wanted to create and establish a relationship with every human being. But if we really get down to the core of that, it's He wants to do it with you. And He wants to do it with me. And He gives us the invitation. And let me even ask you this. If you stop and think about it, why would God go through everything He did? Why would He send His Son to earth knowing all that Jesus was going to have to go through, knowing all that He was going to have to suffer to try to get us to come back to Him? Well, the reason is, and the only reason is that God wants each and every individual to be saved, to get back into the family, and to have that one-on-one, intimate, personal relationship because He loves every single one of us. Amen. That much. Right. You remember, I shared with you this morning and have some in the past, that before we get saved, God is the one that does the seeking. But after we get saved, folks, we have the responsibility of being the seeker. God puts that responsibility over on us, and we completely control the degree and the depth of our relationship with God. Now, that's a lot of responsibility, but that's also a big privilege. That tells me that nobody can keep you from developing a relationship with God that you want to develop. In fact, your relationship today with God is exactly where you want it to be. Now, that's a heavy responsibility right there, isn't it? If you really wanted it to be deeper and stronger, it would be. So your relationship with God today is exactly where you want it to be. And because of God's amazing love, we talked about that a little bit this morning, God's love for us is so amazing, if for no other reason, we ought to seek God out of a heart of gratitude for all that He's done for us. I know when Diane and I were on the farm at Evansville, I was going to college, and I'm not sure I've ever told you folks this whole story, so I'll take just a moment here and give you a little bit more detail. We lived in a mobile home down by my mom and dad. We owed on the mobile home, but we had no other expenses other than our utilities and that kind of stuff. Both of our cars were paid for. Didn't owe for anything else, so we had the mobile home and the utilities, and both of us were making really good money. I worked at JCPenney's making good money. Diana worked in the grocery store making really good money. And we went from that to making $400 a month. And I started going to college. Yeah, you're talking about faith. That was a major step of faith. Well, for the first month, I had to borrow, the first semester, I had to borrow the funds to go to school on. And I was planning on borrowing funds all the way through. And when I got out, I was planning on having a major expense to pay back. Because if you've ever gone to a Christian college, you know that they are very expensive. Well, after the very first semester, the financial aid lady, Miss Buss, she called me in and she said, "There's a couple looking for you." And I'm like, "Who would be looking for me? I don't know anybody besides you." Well, she called me and said, "There's a couple in California, an elderly couple that doesn't have any kids. They're looking for somebody that's in full-time ministry, has a family, is a full-time student, and doing everything they can to get through college." And I said, "That's definitely me. We qualify in all those accounts." That family, from that day forward, not only paid all of my tuition, paid all of our books, and even sent us money from time to time to go out to eat on and different things like that. They sent us, actually called us and said, "We're coming to Springdale. We would like to meet you." What do you think I said? I don't think we want to meet you folks. We canceled everything we had going. I don't even remember what was going, but we made it a point to go meet those folks because of the heart of gratitude that we had toward them, because they laid out a ton of money for us to go to, or for me to go to college. Took a major weight off of us. Well, folks, we ought to do the same thing for God. We ought to just seek Him out of gratitude for what He has done for every single one of us. And that doesn't even count the other benefits that we talked about this morning about getting our needs met, and the special wisdom and the special favor and God rewarding us in all the different ways that He does. So we need to seek Him. When we do seek Him, we're going to be in His perfect will. Now we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. There's a thing called God's permissive will, and there's a thing called God's perfect will. And you can go into the Bible and actually find His perfect will. And when you seek God and find His perfect will for your life, then your life is going to be full of meaning and full of purpose. And out when we were in the secular world, I went to a lot of different courses and things, and the number one desire among human beings is that they wanted their life to have meaning and to have purpose. Well, that tells me that everybody in here fits into that category. And folks, the best way for us to find that meaning and that purpose is to seek God, get close to Him, and then He will indeed show us that His perfect will for our lives. Now, one guy that I read after this past week, this is a little bit lengthy, but he said it so well that I want to read what he said, and I want you to listen closely, because he talks about the only reason that God did everything that He did. He says the fact that God and Jesus would ever allow this kind of scenario, talking about Jesus coming to earth, to unfold just to be able to save us and bring us back into their hands and into their good graces is truly a kind of intense and unconditional love that our human minds have a hard time being able to fully grasp. This kind of total, complete, unconditional, and perfect love is beyond our ability to fully understand or comprehend. So why does God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have this kind of an intense and passionate love for each and every one of us, since we have all been proven to be such unworthy and unholy sinners in their sight? What exactly do they see in us that makes us so redeemable and so pardonable in their sight? God is obviously seeing something in all of us that is making us salvageable and lovable in His sight. Otherwise, He would never have wasted His time sending Jesus, His only Son, down to this earth to save us. Now listen to the statement He makes here. After studying the Bible from start to finish, I believe there is only one main reason that God and Jesus have gone to such extreme and painful lengths to bring us back to themselves, and that one main reason is intimate fellowship. That's why God seeks us before we get saved, because He wants that intimate fellowship with us. You can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were created for intimate fellowship with God. I've thought about that many times. They walked in the cool of the evening with God. Folks, we have that same opportunity if we'll just take it. God's intentions has not changed whatsoever. He still wants to give us that perfect and unconditional love and have that intimate fellowship with every single one of us. That's why He sent Jesus to die for our sins and to bring us back into that fellowship. Through the blood of Jesus, our spiritual relationship with God has completely, totally been restored if we desire it to be. Well, again, there it goes back into our responsibility. And a lot of times, we don't like it being our responsibility, but it is our responsibility. God is waiting for us with an open heart and open arms, and what He wants more than anything else is intimate fellowship, intimate prayer, and intimate dialogue with us. Now, I use that word dialogue because a lot of times when we pray, we get up and run before we give God a chance to speak to our hearts. Well, there's nothing intimate about that, is there? I heard somebody, I don't remember if it was somebody here or who it was, tell me this week that they hesitated, or it was, we saw Rick and Lisa Gregg Friday, and it was Rick telling us that he really hesitated calling his sister because he said, when I call, I'm going to have to listen for 30 minutes before I ever get a word in edgewise, even if it's important for me to say something. Well, we do the same thing to God. We call God, if you want to say that, in prayer, and we just talk, and then we got to go, God, bye. Well, that's not dialogue, is it? That's really not even prayer, because prayer is a two-way communication. Just like in a marriage or any kind of relationship, you have to have two-way communication for it to be truly a close, intimate relationship. If one person does all the talking, then the other person is actually going to be annoyed and bored and not even really listen to what the other person has to say. So God wants to have that intimate fellowship with us, that intimate prayer and that intimate dialogue. And what it really boils down to is that God is looking for seekers. And if you remember the scriptures we used this morning, we gave you a lot of examples of that. And a seeker is somebody who desires to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with God, because otherwise we have no reason to seek God. And so He is looking for us to do that. Now, a couple of things I want to go into, and this is kind of rehashing this morning, but I think this is so vitally important. We need to really understand what it means to diligently seek. Diligently seek. I ask yourself, how long has it been since you've taken the Bible and really done some intense, serious Bible study? You need to study your Bible to the point that if on Wednesday night Larry called you at 6:55 and says, I can't make it, I need you to fill in, you're ready. You need to be studying the Bible to the point that if I got up some Sunday night and said, who wants to preach tonight? You can say, I'm ready. Folks, we really don't study the Bible intently, do we? We have that casual walk through the Bible. And yes, like I said this morning, we have to start there. But we need to learn to get deep into the Word of God and really get down into the meat of the Word of God and really start seeking God. And let me put it to you this way, seeking God's heart and seeking God's face. Really getting to know the personality and the being of God. And get to the point that we're just like Moses, where Moses said that he was called God's friend. God's friend. Up here in the Nazarene, Church of the Nazarene, they've got a sign that caught my attention. It said, Jesus is my BFF. And if you don't know what that is, that's best friends forever. And then it says, who's yours? Well, that's a good question. Because God wants to be our very best friend forever. And He's done everything He can to make that possible, but we have to seek Him. And again, after we're saved, the seeking becomes our responsibility. Amen. The Bible says, seek and then you will find. Draw near and then God will draw near to you. Ask and then you will receive. Knock and then the door shall be opened to you. If we really seek God, not only are we going to find God, but we're going to find all that God has for us. Again, going back to Matthew 6:33, He tells us if we'll seek Him and His kingdom and His righteousness first, then all these other things will be added unto us. So we need to put Him as the big priority in our lives. There's a law in the Bible that we don't hardly ever hear about, but it's the law of the seeker. If you seek, you will find. If you don't seek, you won't find. You don't have a chance of finding it. You definitely do have to seek, and God wants us to seek. And the more you seek Him, and the deeper you seek Him, and the harder you seek Him, and the more diligently you seek Him, the more active He's going to be in your life. Again, going back to the people we gave you the examples of this morning, Enoch and Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Isaac and Jacob and all those different people. They diligently sought God, and we saw God moving in their lives in a great and a mighty way. And He will do that for us today if we seek Him like they did. And God wants to reward us. That's why He tells us to seek Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. And I dare say there's not a one of us here, including myself, that does that. All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We are too preoccupied with everything else around us to really seek God the way we need to. And that's why I said this morning, you need to turn off your TV for a while. You need to cut out some other things for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks and really spend some time diligently seeking God like you've never done it before. And watch what God does in your life. I actually think a lot of Christians get scared when they start to realize the intensity that God wants from us. A lot of times when we hear about the intensity that God wants, we realize that we're not living up to near that intensity in our walk with Him, in our seeking Him. And we kind of back off because we say, I can't do that. Well, we can do that, but we're going to have to make a very conscious decision to do it. Let me take some of the pressure off. All God wants from you at this point is the very best effort that you can give. Whatever level of spirituality you're at, God does not expect you to be here right now, but He does expect you to be growing to where you can get to a mature level and where God and you can have a very deep, intimate, personal relationship. And it works the same way as it does in dating. Most of the time when a man and a lady meet, they don't fall madly, passionately in love at that very moment, do they? But they spend time together, and slowly that relationship grows, and then there comes a point in time where they say they want to get married, and they take that relationship to an even deeper level. And actually, from that moment on that they do get married, it ought to start growing and grow and grow and grow and grow and continue to grow throughout their entire life. But it takes time. It takes effort. You've got to spend a lot of time together. You have to be vulnerable. You have to open up and start sharing your heart. You have to share your desires and your wishes and your fears and all those different things. That's what makes it a good, strong relationship. And it takes a lot of time to build that kind of a relationship. Well, folks, the same thing with God. It's not going to happen overnight. And in fact, it's going to take some time. It's going to be a gradual process. But it can happen. And one thing that I mentioned this morning that I really hope that you caught on to is the fact that God is no respecter of persons. If He did it for Abraham, He'll do it for you. Amen. If He did it for Sarah, He'll do it for you. Right. If he did it for Jacob or Joseph or Moses or Enoch or any of those folks, he'll do it for you. If you're willing to put in the time that, and the effort that it's going to take to diligently seek him to build that relationship that God wants to have with you and that we really should desire to have with him. He's no respecter of persons. We're all on equal ground. We're all on equal footing. We all have the very same opportunity. We have all been given the measure of faith. We've all been given the same word. We've all been given the same Holy Spirit. The question is, what are we going to do with it? We can establish and develop a deep, intimate relationship with God. God is willing to spend just as much time and effort with you as he would anybody else if we will initiate the seeking. But again, we have to be the ones that initiate it. Now, I've got one more point that I want you to really stop and think about. And to this day, I've been a Christian now for 43 years. But to this day, this still is something that is so difficult for me to comprehend. But I do comprehend it because it's what makes our relationship great. And that is the fact that I can have an intimate, personal relationship with God. The creator of this universe, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, the Most High God, He not only can, He desires that relationship. I told you folks about when I was growing up that I had a really bad self-image. When I started thinking about God wanted to be close and intimate with me, that was way beyond what I could comprehend. I couldn't even see some of my friends wanting to be my friend. But when it finally dawned on me that God wants that kind of relationship. And again, I'll prove that to you by showing you that he sent Jesus to die for us, to bring us back into that relationship. Folks, that means you're special. That means you are somebody. That means I'm special. When I started getting a hold of these kind of things, it changed the way I looked at myself. I started seeing myself through God's eyes. I started seeing myself as somebody that God said, you are worthy of my love because I created you and I want to give you my love and I want to receive your love and have that personal relationship with you. That is powerful. And every single one of us can have that if we desire it. If we desire it. If we understand how valuable it really is. Now again, going back to the illustration of me losing that ring was valuable. I still miss that ring. Like I said, I had my high school class ring melted down. So not only was it valuable monetarily, it had a lot of sentimental value because that was my high school ring. That's why I was out there diligently seeking for it. And if we understand the value of the relationship that God wants to have with us, folks, we will make it a priority and we will definitely seek Him diligently. Amen. We'll quit being casual about it. We will quit playing church. We'll quit just reading through the Bible. We will really start seeking the very face and the very heart of God to build that relationship. So we can take this as deep as we want to. Like I said this morning, your relationship is exactly with God is exactly where you want it to be right now. My prayer is that you will have a greater wannabe, that you will want it to be closer, that you will be willing to make the effort and set aside the time that you're going to need to build that relationship. I want to ask Marlene and Bill if they would to come with a song of invitation. And I understand this is not an invitation where necessarily people are going to come to the front. But as we sing this song, I want you to look in your own heart and be honest with yourself. How close are you to God? Are you really diligently seeking Him? Is He a top priority in your life? Are you putting Him first and foremost? Or are you putting other things first? If you put anything else before God, then He's really not God in your life. He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Amen. And so we have to be honest with ourselves to see where we are standing with Him. So let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before You. And again, I thank You so much that You desire a close, personal, intimate relationship with us. And God, I thank You from the very depths of our heart that You've done everything that You possibly can do. You sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to bring us back into the family, to make us Your sons and Your daughters. And You've given us Your Word. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the seed of faith. You've given us everything that we need. And then You tell us to go diligently seek You, and that You will reward us. And Father, again, we saw the rewards this morning, how great and how magnificent that they are. And I just pray tonight that You just move in the hearts of our people and help us to make a commitment to You, and help us, Father, to realize what we're missing by not having the close relationship with You that You want us to have. And that You're standing there with Your arms and Your heart open wide, ready to receive us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.